श्रीमद् भगवद गीता साधक संजीवनी चैप्टर 2 वर्स 11 लिंक। लॉर्ड कृष्णा प्रीचेस द गॉस्पेल ऑफ फ्रीडम फ्रॉम ग्रीफ टू ग्रीव्ड अर्जुन एंड सेज। श्री भगवान उवाच। असोच्यानं व्यशोचस्त्वं प्रज्ञावादांश्च भाषसे गतासून गतासूंश्च नानुशोचन्ति पंडिता। द ब्लेसेड लॉर्ड सेड, अर्जुन, यू ग्रीव फॉर दोज हु शुड नॉट बी ग्रीव्ड एट, yet speak as if a man of wisdom. The wise grieve neither for the living nor for the dead. Comment: a man is grieved when he classifies objects and persons into two divisions, one's own and not one's own, such as our kinsmen and not our kinsmen, of our caste and not our caste, of our stage of life and not our stage of life, our followers and not our followers. We have a sense of mind, attachment, love and desire for those who we regard as ours. Through these, a sense of mind and desire, etc., faults such as grief, worry, fear, perturbation, commotion and strain, etc., arise. The root of all faults is a sense of mind and desire. This is a rule. At the beginning of Gita, Dhritarashtra asked, "What did my sons and the sons of Pandu do?" It shows his partiality towards his own sons and attachment for them, though the Pandavas regarded him more than their father. Arjun also developed the same attachment, but he had no partiality. He was impartial, and so he uses the term, seeing all these relations. And how can we, by killing our own kinsmen, be happy? It means that Arjun had attachment for the Kuru family, and because of responsibility of destruction of the family, he was grieved. To remove his grief, Lord Krishna preaches the gospel of the Gita, which begins with the 11th verse. In the end, Lord Krishna declares that there is no justification for him to grieve, and he should take refuge in him alone and not grieve. Grieve not. The reason is that dependence on the world leads to grief, while supreme or exclusive devotion to the Lord leads to the state which is free from faults such as grief and worry. Asochyanam vasochyastvam. There are two things in the world, real and unreal, the soul and the body. Both of these are not to be grieved at, as the real is imperishable and therefore should not be grieved for, and the unreal is bound to perish, as it is perishing every moment, so it should not be grieved at. It means that these are grieved at only because of ignorance or lack of discrimination. Whatever circumstances in the form of birth, death, profit, loss, etc., a man finds himself in, are result of his fate, that is, his previous actions. It is sheer ignorance to feel happy or sad in those favorable or unfavorable circumstances, because these are transient. Prajna vadanscha bhashase. On the one hand, you speak words of wisdom, but on the other hand, you grieve. It shows that you are merely talking tall. Actually, you're not wise, because the wise do not grieve for anyone. You also say that with the destruction of a family, its old age traditions disappear. Women become depraved and there ensues an intermixture of castes, which leads to hell and deprived of ritual offerings of rice balls, pinda, and water. Their manes also fall. These words, as of the wise, also prove that a body is perishable, while the soul is imperishable. Had the soul not been imperishable, how could you have feared the fall of the killers and members of the family? Further, you would not have worried about the fall of manes. Your worry and fear proves that a body is perishable, while its matter, the soul, is eternal. So it is not right to grieve for them. Gatasuna gatasuncha. It is out of ignorance that you grieve for the bodies, because these will all perish. You should not lament for them. Such grief is a mistake. It is also a great mistake to grieve for those who are dead, because they suffer torture. If their people grieve for them, the departing soul has to drink and eat the tears and phlegm shed by people here. Similarly, we should not grieve or worry for those who are living, because grief does not help in any way. We should rather care for and help them. Arjun's limbs were giving way and his mouth was getting parched. The root of such feelings is his identity with the body. Such identity creates affinity for those who nurse this body. That affinity gives birth to grief and worry in thinking of their death. So one is grieved and sad after thinking of those who are living as well as those who are dead. One is grieved about the dead because deprived of the ritual offerings of rice ball and water, the manes have a downfall. And he is worried about the living ones because they are arrayed on the battlefield, staking their lives and property. Both types of worries relate to their bodies, so they are of the same character. Instead of grieving for those who are dead, we should offer ritual water and rice balls, etc., because it is our duty. Similarly, we should make arrangements to care for those who are living. So we should give a serious thought to it, which enables us to understand our duty, while worry destroys the power of thinking. Nanu shochanti panditaha. Discrimination between the real and the unreal is called panda, wisdom. And one who has developed discrimination is known as panditaha, wise. Such wise men do not grieve because they can discriminate between the real and the unreal, the imperishable self and the perishable body. Grief arises only when the unreal is accepted as real. That is, when there is a desire to maintain the body forever. For the real, there is no grief or worry at all. Appendix. There is one division of the body, sharira, while another division of the self, shariri. Both have no relationship at all with each other. Both are quite different in nature. One is insentient, while the other is sentient. One is perishable, while the other is imperishable. One is mutable, while the other is immutable. One is kaleidoscopic, while the other remains the same for time immemorial. Bhuta gramaha sa evayam. Sargepi no pajayante Pralaye na vyathani cha. The body and the self both are not to be grieved. The body ever perishes, therefore it is not to be grieved, while the self never perishes. Therefore it is also not to be grieved. One is grieved only because of one's own folly. The body is continuously separating, automatically, while the self is ever attained to all. The wise men who know this distinction between the body and the self never grieve for any being, whether dead or alive. In their view, the division of the changing body is different from that of the never-changing self, that is, the ever-existent entity. The Gospel of Gita begins with the discrimination between the body and the self. Other philosophical classics describe the self and the non-self in an objective manner, and it becomes a matter of study. But Gita, instead of describing the self and the non-self objectively, describes Deha and Dehi, Sharira and Shariri, body and its owner, on the basis of the personal experience of all persons. This is uniqueness of the Gita. The striver who wants to attain salvation, first of all, must know who I am. Arjun has also asked Lord Krishna to tell him the highest good for him. Salvation can only be attained by discriminating the self from the body. So long as a man holds, I am the body, he may listen to gospel, may preach gospel to others, may practice spiritual discipline, but salvation is not possible. It is a blunder to accept a thing which is not one's own as one's own, and to disown a thing which is one's own. Only the thing which may ever live with us and with which we may ever live can be our own. The body in the same state doesn't stay with us even for a moment, while God ever lives with us. The reason is that the body belongs to the class of the world, while the self belongs to the class of God. Therefore, it is the greatest blunder to assume the body as one's own and not to assume God as one's own. In order to rectify this blunder, the Lord in the Gita first of all describes the discrimination between the body and the self and awakens the striver to the fact. You are not the entity which dies. That is, you are not the body. You are the knower while the body is the known. You are eternal and pervade everywhere. Nitya sarva gataha. Yena sarva midam tatam. While the body is unipresent. You are a resident of the divine world, while the body is resident of the matter world. You are a fragment of God, while the body is the fragment of Prakriti. Manashashtani Indriyani Prakritishtani. You ever live in immortality, while the body ever lives in mortality. By the decay and death of the body, you don't decay and die in the least. Therefore, you shouldn't be obsessed by grief, worry and fear. The self is not attached and limited to any body. Therefore, it is said to be pervading everywhere. Sarvagataha. And yena sarvamidam tatam. Therefore, the true nature of a striver is merely an ever-existent entity, not shariri, one having a body. Rather, it is ashariri, having no relation with the body. Therefore, the Lord has also designated it as avyaktaha, unmanifest. Avyaktadini bhutani, unmanifest beings. The body is decaying every moment as it is asat. Asat has no existence. Na sato vidyate bhav. How a striver having relationship with the body, even whose existence is not there, can be termed shariri? A striver is neither sharira, body, nor shariri, dehi. In this section, the Lord has used the term shariri for the ever-existent entity in order to attain to its strivers. By calling it as shariri, he means to say that a striver is not the body. When we reflect upon the nature of the body and the self, we perceive that the body and the self have their own identity, and when we don't reflect upon them, then they have also their own identity. On reflection, there is no difference in the reality of their true nature, but by reflecting upon them, the striver's delusion is destroyed and the human life becomes successful by attaining its aim. In human life, there's predominance of discrimination. Therefore, I am not body. This discrimination is possible only in the human body. The sense of I and my in the body is not the work of human intellect, but that of beastly intellect. Therefore, Shri Sukhdev Ji Maharaj says to King Parikshit, O King, now give up this beastly intellect that you will die. As the body was non-existent in the past, it was born afterwards and will die in the future. It is not the case with you that you were non-existent in the past, were born afterwards and will die. End of chapter 2, verse 11. Narayan, Narayan, Narayan.